You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Wednesday's edition of the podcast where it's the first day of the St. Ledger meeting from Doncaster. That card supported by Carlisle and Utoxeter in the afternoon. Then into the evening we're at Kempton and over the jumps at Galway in Ireland. We start at 1:40pm with Ross Briley, Chris Pimlott and Rory Delaghi in the studio to guide you through all the action. But ahead of all that, joining myself, Sam Norris, on today's edition of the podcast is James Millman. How are you, James?
Yeah, pretty good. Thank you, Sam.
Good. Looking forward to the Ledger meeting?
Yeah, we've got an excellent 4 days ahead of us. And shame that the Ledger feels a little bit on the small side, but some class racing to look forward to.
Yeah, and if you chuck in the card at Leopardstown on Saturday, we're in for a really good few days.
We've got an excellent weekend there in Ireland, and that's probably class-wise the highlight, I think, of the weekend. But the four-day Doncaster meeting is always very popular up north.
If we get all the runners, the Irish Champion Stakes has the potential to be probably the best race of the season.
Definitely. But that's a big if, isn't it?
Yeah.
All season we've had these matches and battles between these top horses, and it doesn't seem to materialise. Hopefully the weather stays dryish and we can see the good horses take each other on, because that's what we've lacked this season, I think, a little bit. They've kind of run scared because of the ground conditions. And hopefully, I'd say, the nine that are entered at the last stage looks to be a very, very strong field.
Yeah, it does. And I think people are don't have much confidence in some of them going there. I was chatting to John Budden on the podcast yesterday, and he rightly pointed out that Glen Eagles probably wouldn't be the price that he is if people thought he was actually going to go. I don't think people would be...
Well, especially anti-post betting. Yeah. You're not going to get your money back
if
connections do decide that the ground is a little bit too soft for him. Obviously, they've said that he could well be going for the Breeders' Cup Classic. That's an option at the end of the season. So if they are going to do that, they're not going to bottom in such on ground which doesn't suit. I was disappointed he didn't run in a Judd Monte, although subsequent events, the way that the race panned out, probably suggests that it was the right decision by the team. But like I said, just hope we can get to see him on the track at some point.
Yeah, that's right. One horse, though, that that won't be heading to the Irish Champion Stakes and will be heading to France instead is, of course, the heroine of the Judgment. Arabian Queen heads to the Prix Vermeil on Sunday to take on Trave. That should be an interesting battle.
Yeah, it'll be probably a slightly harder trial than Cricket Head imagined for Trev, because Arabian Queen, she is a useful filly in her own right. I think she was just given an absolutely brilliant ride by Sylvester D'Souza in the Judd Monte, but she's still got the job done. And we wouldn't want to upset David Ellsworth now by discrediting her performance at all. But she had previously looked to be a Group 2 filly. She won a cracker in the Nassau at Goodwood, but just come up short against Legatissimo and co. So, like I say, for me, I think it was a little bit of a flash in the pan. And I think shouldn't treble Trev. But a filly in form and Bathsheba Adam was extremely tough and improved as she stepped up in trip. So Arabian Queen, now she's stepping up in trip, she may well find further improvement. I think she needs to. But like I say, I was really impressed by her attitude at York, because she was headed by Golden Horn and she fought back. So take nothing away from her, and it'll be interesting to see how she gets on.
Yeah, as you said, it'll be a good test for Trev, and probably, as you mentioned, a harder one than they would have expected. You still think she's the worthy arc favourite?
Yeah, definitely. And let's face it, she got beat last year in trial and still turned up 4 weeks later and won very, very cosily. So Cricket Head trains her specifically for the arc. So ultimately, 4 weeks is a long time in a racehorse's career. She's very happy with the form she's in. I'm sure the aim will be to win the race. But ultimately, I'm sure she'll be another £10 better come arc day anyway, whatever she does in the trial. And it's a trial, so I wouldn't be disappointed. But ultimately, I think that she's got an excellent chance, and she looks in much better shape this year than what she was last.
Yeah, that's fair. Probably a fair point. Look forward to see those two fillies then over in France on Sunday. Anything else caught the eye of recent times, James?
We've had a bit of a quiet time, really, after York, to be honest. And like I say, connections are waiting for these big weekends now. And So it's just good to see them all there, and just hope they all take the chance. But recent wise, it's been a little bit quiet for Stars in recent weeks. But of any kind of season, you can't have Stars running every single weekend. It's a lot better than the Jumps, where specifically after King George, it goes dead until the Cheltenham Festival. The Flat, we do get a couple of weeks quiet, but generally, there's something to look forward to every single week.
Yeah, it's not been helped by, I suppose, conditions as well over the summer, as I mean, you haven't been able to get your fast ground horses.
Yeah,
out.
Definitely. It's been a little bit of a inconvenience for a lot of people, but ultimately, perhaps we're going to get a dry autumn because the forecast for September is reasonably dry, and hopefully it will enable a few of these fast ground horses that have missed midsummer targets to have a slightly elongated season than what they normally have.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully we will get the chance to see some of those top performers then. Just before we move on to Wednesday's action, we must remind you of an exclusive ticket offer here with William Hill in conjunction with our sponsorship of the Air Gold Cup Festival. We're offering 2-for-1 tickets on the Thursday. That's 2 tickets for £15 in the grandstand enclosure. On the Friday, it's 2-for-1. 2 tickets for £17 on the Friday. It's £5 off on the Saturday at £17 in the grandstand. To book, call 01292 264 179 and quote WM Hill 15. Maximum 6 tickets per customer. Book by the 14th of September to take advantage of that ticket offer. We'll move on now then to take a look at some of Wednesday's racing. It's the first day of the Ledger meeting, of course, so we've picked all 4 races from Doncaster. We'll start with their 2:30. This one is a condition stakes, a plus 10 race over 6 furlongs. 7 of them line up for this Class 2 event. And we'll start, James, with a runner of your dad's here, Handy Talk, who quite a few of us, myself included, made a few quid on this on the back of your tip when it ran in its maiden at Windsor. Subsequently gone on to run credibly in a couple of Class 2s. Wasn't disgraced either last time out in listed company. Back into a Class 2 today. What are his chances?
Yeah, well, he was a very, very decent early season 2-year-old with Handy Talk, and I'd say we fancied him when he won first time out at Windsor. And he's run some absolutely brilliant races and defeats subsequently. He was second in the Garter Stakes to Loggett Island. He actually beat Berrettino on that occasion. Obviously, Berrettino went on to win the Coventry. Next time at Newbury, he was a little bit too keen first time over 6 furlongs, and that probably hampered his chances. But he's only beaten 2.5 lengths by Birchwood, Beaverbrook, and Eltazama, 3 rays for horses, and Shalar, obviously champion 2-year-old. It was his debut, but he was actually last in that race. So that was a strong effort, and not disgraced when fourth in the National Stakes behind King of Rooks. In that race, Berrettino, I think, was again placed, and Steady Place was back in third. All 3 of those were placed at Royal Ascot. So his form's really, really good. Fortunately, he came down with pleurisy after he ran in the National Stakes, and he was a very, very sick horse in the summer. So we were quite concerned that we might actually lose him. So that's why he's been off the track for a long time. He hasn't always been right all year, so we're not sure how much that affected his actual performances earlier in the season. So he could actually be even better than what he's shown so far. But after such an illness, he's probably going to need his first run back. His aim is the Red Car 2-year-old trophy, which is at the end of the month. So this will hopefully put him spot on. But he's a very, very decent horse in his own right, and certainly shouldn't be overlooked in this race. But El Renac sets a very decent standard of form. He's rated 103, generally on the back of his good efforts when placed behind Shalar in the July Stakes at Newmarket. And then a little bit disappointing probably when fifth in the Richmond. This is a drop in grade for Sheikh Hamdan Maktoum's Invincible Spirit colt, and he certainly is the one to beat. Richard Hannon's Madrino is another decent type, rated 95, who is probably looking a little bit exposed now, beaten his last 2 starts and was a beaten favourite at Chester last time when he was 11-10, so better was expected on that occasion. But he may just have not handled the tight turns there at Chester, but Madrino's a pretty decent horse. Of the others, Storm Rising is probably the most interesting out of those that have not run too often. Won very, very nicely on debut for Richard Hannon, and that one could be interesting. See how he compares in the market to Madrino, but I think this race is for El Renac to win, but I'll be looking forward to how Handy Talk gets on.
Okay, El Renac then for James in the 2:30 at Doncaster on Wednesday. We'll move ahead to the feature race on the day from Doncaster. This is the listed Scarborough Stakes at 3 o'clock. 12 of them go down to take their chance in this. 5 furlongs is the trip. Who did you like the look of?
Well, this is a very, very rare contest where 2-year-olds can take on their older horses. Obviously, the Nunthorpe is the main one, and they get a very, very hefty weight for age allowance from their older horses. They're getting, well, they're only going 8 stone 3. A couple of older horses are carrying 10 stones. They're getting a lot of weight. Generally, the 2-year-olds, Field Division and Sign of the Kodiak, don't look quite good enough. Field Division obviously ran a cracker win second in the super sprint, but only just got off a mark at Kelmsford last time, having run some good races in defeat, but probably not good enough despite the fact that he's getting a hefty weight for age. Good to see the old boy, Kingsgate Native, have a reasonably good season for Robert Carr in Shibley Park Stud. He's run some cracking races in defeat, wasn't very far behind Muff Mir at Goodwood in Group 2 company, back down into listed grade. I think he's got an excellent chance. Desert Law is another one who's been in very, very good form for Paul Midgley, along with the owners, Monsieur Joe. Which one of those two will come out on top? It's hard to know. Only a pound separates them on official ratings, with Monsieur Joe having a £3 penalty for a similar success. Tricky race. I think I'll give the old boy Kingsgate Native one more chance back in a listed company.
Okay, it's the 10-year-old then, Kingsgate Native, under James Doyle, that gets the pick here in that 3 o'clock race. We'll move on to the Legends race, which is next up at 3:35, a classified stakes over a mile, 19 of them down to contest. We've got betting for this race. Gannicus, who's the mount, of course, of AP McCoy, is 5-1, 7-1 for Cliff. Pivotman is 8-1, 9's about Dark Avenger and Fidelman Moon, 10-1 for Commissar. Johnny Murtagh gets the ride on that one, and it's 11's bar those. Certainly in terms of jockeys, James, a fantastic renewal of the Legend Stakes.
Yeah, definitely. Jockeys wise, great to see AP McCoy last official ride. This will be on Gannicus. He says he's not going to do it again, but he looks to have a very lively mount here in Brendan Powell's, a representative, who handicapper seems to have been quite lenient with his horse, because he's actually won two handicaps at Brighton this year off 68 and 69. He's still eligible for this 0-70 contest, and he got put up a pound for his last success under Jenny Powell at Brighton, which takes him to 70. And you'd imagine Brendan Powell would be quite keen to have Tony McCoy on board his horse, and he's certainly interesting. But his best form is at Brighton. Maybe he's going to be as effective back on a more conventional track is a question mark, but having McCoy in the plate, who didn't go out on a winner at Sandown on Whitbread Day, maybe be keen to officially end it with a win. So he'll certainly be lacking no strength from the saddle. And I think it's also key that AP McCoy is obviously one of the ones that have retired most recently, so going to be one of the fittest jockeys in the race, because a few of these have been out the saddle for a fair while. They weren't even riding when I was riding, so it depends how fit they've kept themselves going, because it's very different to riding out at home to actually riding on the racetrack. So for that reason, generally, the younger jockeys come to the fore as such. But Dale Gibson, very own, works here on William Hill on occasions. He obviously won it last year, and I'm sure he's been spying a nice ride. He's got Regal Ways for Mark Johnson, who has been a little bit disappointing on recent starts. But as a three-year-old, gets a £5 weight allowance from the older horses. And if he can bounce back from a couple of disappointing efforts, his second at Ripon looks reasonably strong form and stays a little bit further, which could be key, because they tend to go off quite fast in this event. The one I'm going to go for, though, is Commissar for Ian Williams. Johnny Murta is in the saddle. Obviously, Johnny Murta, extremely useful jockey. And Commissar has been in very, very good form, generally. He won a handicap off 64 at Goodwood, and then was second off 69 at Ripon. Keeps him eligible for this kind of contest. And with Johnny Murta on the plate, I think he could be the one to beat.
Commissar then for James, getting the selection in the Legends race at 3:35. We'll be getting the thoughts of Dale Gibson a little bit later on in the podcast about his ride Regal Ways in that Legends race. Of course, riding for Mark Johnson, as you mentioned, James won the race last year aboard Bob, so we'll be catching up with Dale shortly. Final race on today's podcast then comes up at 4:10. This one is a 7 furlong handicap. 9 of them will go down to post for this one. A few last time out winners here, James. It looks pretty competitive.
Yeah, definitely. This is a race full of progressive three-year-olds. Mr. Brightside's really done well for Jeremy Nasida this season, owned in partnership by Walter Swinburne, the ex-jockey, ex-trainer. And like I say, he's been very progressive, winning 3 of his last 4 starts, a maiden at Lingfield handicap at Newmarket off 82 and another handicap at Newmarket off 88. So you know he goes well on a straight track, which I think is always key. And I don't think the handicap has probably got hold of him off a mark of 94. But a horse that I liked when he won at Haydock under Rachel Richardson was Sarkey's Return, who has been improving nicely, subsequently won at York recently. A nice big strong type. Rachel got a good tune out of him on that occasion when winning last time out. You can give him 2 months off a track, hopefully strengthening up a little bit more, because he's a nice big strong type. And with Rachel's £5 claim, he could still be pretty progressive. So Sarkey's Return will be the selection in the 4:10, which looks to be a very competitive 3-year-old handicap.
number five, Sarkey's return then. If you just run us through, please, one more time, though, James, your selections for the first day of the Ledger meeting at Doncaster.
Yeah, in the 2:30, we've gone for Aranak, who's got the solid form rate of 103 in the 2-year-old condition stakes, although I hope Handy Talk can run well in his return from illness. In the 3 o'clock Scarborough stakes, I've gone for Kingsgate Native, the 10-year-old, back in listed company, having run well in defeat in some Group 2s, Group 3s. I think that he's got a good chance. In the Leicester Legends race, I have gone for Johnny Murta and Commissar, trained by Ian Williams, in good form and with one of the top jockeys on board. That could be significant. And the 4:10, the final race, I've gone for Sarkey's return for Rachel Richardson and Timmy's to be a nice, big, strong type who continues to impress.
Delighted now to welcome along to the William Hill podcast, Dale Gibson, who of course rode the winner of the Legends race last year at Doncaster aboard Bob, and he'll be hoping for similar success this year aboard Mark Johnson's 3-year-old Regal Ways. First things first, Dale, how are you?
Very well, thank you. No, good form.
Good stuff. Certainly, jockeys-wise, it's a fantastic renewal of the Legends race. The likes of AP McCoy and Johnny Murta are taking to it. Should be pretty interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Delighted that we've got the services of a sporting icon, legend in AP McCoy, and world-class former rider Johnny Murta as well. It really adds some spice to the occasion. The sixth running of the Clipper Logistics Ledger Legend Stakes, and all systems go now for Doncaster tomorrow.
Yeah, it does. Looking forward to this year's renewal immensely. We'll start with the chances of your ride, if you don't mind then, Dale. As I say, Regal Ways for Mark Johnson is the one you're getting the leg up on. A 16-1 chance at the moment. Has he got a squeak?
Well, finished last, the last twice that she's actually run. So stone cold last. Prior to that, she did finish second at Ripon over a mile and a quarter. She's back to a mile. We'll just have to see. I think she has to raise her game. She's not won a race yet. I think there's probably horses in the race with a slightly better chance on form than her, but you never know with Mark Johnson training. He's had such a phenomenal year again that even if the horses run, you know, a couple of poor races, they can soon revert to type.
Yeah, that's right. You've always got to pay attention to the Mark Johnson horses, certainly at the moment. We'll just run you through the betting as we have it here at William Hill. Gannicus is the 5-1 favourite at the mount of AP McCoy. 7-1 about Cliff. Pivot Man is an 8-1 chance. It's 9s about Dark Avenger and Fidelman Moon. 10-1 for Johnny Murta is Commissar. We'll start with AP McCoy's horse here, Gannicus, the only one that brings winning form into the race. Is that a worthy favourite for you, Dale?
He only won an ordinary race last time in a small field. I think the fact that AP's on him, I think whatever AP would have ridden would have been pretty short in the betting, and possibly short enough for what he's actually achieved. I mean, you've got to remember this is a 0-70 classifier. We've got a number of horses on the mark of 70, and in theory, the handicapper says that sort of half a dozen of them are finishing a straight line, but he's got a chance in what is, again, another open race.
Okay, next in the betting is Cliff at 7-1. That's for the Tinkler team. Again, another horse rated 70. Has reasonable form figures by its name as well. What about this one?
Yeah, ran fifth in the race last year under Billy Newmes. Hasn't got his head in front yet, but has been knocking on the door, so he's got a chance.
Pivot Man is next up at 8-1. Again, this one for Mick Easterby and Ollie Pears. 7-year-old. It's one of the elder statesmen of the race, but should still be... there or thereabouts?
Yeah, I mean, his best form's on the all-weather. He's got a higher rating on the all-weather. He's rated 80 on the all-weather, 70 on turf. If he can transform that all-weather form back to the turf, then he's in with a chance, and certainly he could run well.
OK, fair enough. If I had to tie you down for a selection then for the race, Dale, who would you cash be on?
I do actually think Johnny Murta could run very well each way on the Commissar. He's a horse that likes running off a pace. He's won in a big field earlier in the year. So I think each way speed's out there. Johnny Murta, you could do worse than back in.
Okay, then Commissar for Ian Williams and Johnny Murta is a 10-1 chance, and that's the one that that Dale will be plumping for each way. Just while I've got you, Dale, any fancies for the big race of the meeting, the Ledger?
Yeah, I do like Bondi Beach. I think he can step up on what he achieved last time at York. It's an open renewal. I don't think there's any standout horses in the race, but for me, Bondi Beach must have a great chance.
Okay, Bondi Beach then for Dale in the big race, of course, at St Ledger. Thanks ever so much for joining us on the podcast this afternoon, Dale. And best of luck on Regal Ways tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
Okay, there we are. My thanks to both James and Dale for the previews on this edition of the podcast. And remember, you'll hear every race live on Wednesday from 1:40 p.m. with Ross Briley, Chris Pimlott and Rory Delaghi in the studio. For all the action from Doncaster, we've got Carlisle and New Tuxford in the afternoon as well. And it's Kempton and Galway in the evening. Thank you for joining me on the podcast today, James. Best of luck with Handy Talk tomorrow, and I hope you enjoy the action at Doncaster.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.